trouble.
Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog.
Living in us, we just thank you, Lord, that you are real. Your word is true. The Bible is true. Everything you foretold is coming to pass. We thank you that we have hope that you are coming again and you will establish your kingdom with your people. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome those of you to Fire and Grace Church. Hallelujah. Y'all got that? Okay. All right, so we welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. Are we on there yet? I don't even know what time it is. So we're on Blog Talk Radio, Mixler, and we welcome those by Facebook this morning. I've got several things I want to share with you today. First of all, I want us to go to Matthew 24. First, of course, for our church and regular listeners, this ought to be a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I'm just going to share just some different things that are happening. I believe that the Lord wants us to be warned and prepared for. But, you know, the Bible says here in Matthew 24, as we're going to read, I'm going to look at two verses here. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, in verse 3, says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or anointed of Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then, after this, shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I could keep reading this. Of course, the next verse talks about when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. He's talking about the Antichrist standing in the rebuilt Jewish temple, the third temple that's coming. Boy, it's coming fast. They're preparing for that. But two things I wanted to look at again, even though we have in the past. Because the other night I was watching the protest in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, things have really reached a level of absolute absurdity and insanity in our world. But what you need to understand is that more than it being about race, because I don't know how you're protesting this being a racial issue when a black cop shoots a black man, another black man. I don't even understand that, how it's a race issue, right? But the Bible warned us, Jesus warned us here when he said, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, the word nation is ethnos, where we get our word ethnic or ethnicity. So what he was saying there was you would have race against race and kingdom against kingdom. That's you know, kingdoms are political structures. That mean like being America against Russia, right? Or Russia against China or whatever you want to say. Things are developing, though, in the world very quickly. And what's happening, if you look down here, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, the word iniquity, okay, the word iniquity in the Greek means lawlessness, right? Now, over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it's talking about the Antichrist, one of his names is the man of sin or the man of iniquity, the man of lawlessness. So, folks, what is beginning to take over the world? What you're seeing, the chaos that we see in Charlotte, that we've seen in Ferguson, Missouri, that we've seen in Baltimore and all these other cities, all this rioting that's going on, and not just here in the United States, but, I mean, just look across the world. All of this insanity where people just go out and, you know, I mean, even ISIS, though it's Islamic terror and Antichrist hatred of Christians and Jews and even Muslims that are not Muslim enough, even that is a demonstration of a spirit of lawlessness, because it is a just total disregard for God's law. That God said in Romans chapter 2, God said that his law was written in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. That's why at judgment, on judgment day, it says that everyone will be without excuse. God has written in our consciences that it is wrong to go out and murder, rape, steal, kill, destroy. That is not what we human beings are supposed to be doing to each other, right? But the spirit, and it's an evil spirit, it's the spirit, one of Satan's spirits, one of these unclean spirits, this spirit of lawlessness says, I don't care about the law of God. I don't even care about the laws of man or of nature. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I was watching just the insanity on the streets of Charlotte. And I was realizing we are seeing the chaos increasing. You know, the Lord gave me a word at the end of 2015. Very clearly, he spoke to me and he said chaos would be the word for 2016. And I want to tell you, if 2016 was over today, that word has come to pass. But we got 3 more months left. And we have one of the most controversial, I don't know, would you say controversial or important, heated elections that are about to happen in the United States in our history. And I can tell you, whether they do it or not, the global elite, the Luciferians, the Satanists, whatever you want to call them, the New World Order people, both Republican and Democrat, both foreign and domestic, enemies of freedom, enemies of America, enemies of our Constitution, enemies of Jesus Christ in this Bible, enemies of true Christians. These enemies want to stop this election, or at least stop Donald Trump. They don't care if Jezebel gets in, but they want to stop this election. I've heard a bunch of people, and I'm getting a little sick and tired of it, because it just tells me, people saying that Donald Trump, and it doesn't matter if we get Donald Trump or Hillary. I'm going to tell you, if you think there's not a difference between Donald Trump and Hillary, you have no discernment whatsoever. Zero. And you have not heard from God. I'll just be very blunt about that. Americans don't realize, there's a bunch of Christians out there, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not going to go vote for anybody. Huh. Let me tell you something. If Christians are responsible for letting Hillary Clinton get elected, you're going to be the first one she marches to the FEMA camps. Y'all don't understand, that Jezebel hates the church. She hates true Christians. Hates. Wants to silence us, wants to stop us. And she did a speech. People ought to be sent to fun camps. That was her word for it. Y'all don't understand. When it says here, the beginning of sorrows, race against race, David Wilkerson prophesied there would be a race war in America in the end. But I'm seeing now African-American people running the streets just finding any white person they can and wanting to beat them and kill them. We have a problem. We have a serious problem. I watched a video of an African-American man taking an aluminum bat in Walmart from the, you know, kids' sports section and going down until he found a little white girl, a little 18-year-old white girl standing in an aisle and busting her in the back with it. Thank God she survived this vicious attack. But violence and lawlessness and racism is increasing. And I love how they holler, they holler racism, that white people are all the problem about racism. No, no, racism is in every race. Every race has racists, right? And just because your skin's one color or the other doesn't mean you're a racist. Just because you don't agree that a black man should pick up a bat and go beat a little 18-year-old white girl in Walmart doesn't make you a racist because you say it's wrong. It's evil. I saw walking in the streets of Charlotte both black people and white people, and I looked at them, and the reporters would get in their face or ask them a question, or they would get in the reporter's face, and in both races, I'm sitting there looking at them, and only one word came to my mind: idiots, zombies, clueless individuals. Keep acting this way, because these folks are going to be the first ones that the military and the foreign troops and the UN troops are going to just shoot on the streets when they start this stuff. When this moves in, they're going to be the first shipped off to the fun camps, but it's not going to be fun. These people need to get a grip. It's not white against black, white against Hispanic. I don't you love this. I mean, if you're Hispanic, you ought to be furious. You know, the shooter up in Washington State killed five people in the mall up there. Oh, the news, he was a Hispanic man. How you know? No, they wouldn't dare say he actually looked Islamic, Muslim, Arab. Guess what we find out? No, he wasn't Hispanic at all. He's from Turkey, a Muslim, an Arab. Oh, imagine that. Surprise, surprise. But even that's not race against race. You start saying that, you know, it's probably a Muslim. Well, guess what? Being a Muslim is not a race. That's a religion. But it's racist to say it was probably a Muslim. When 99.99% of all these crazy shootings and terrorist attacks ends up being a Muslim, maybe if he's dark-skinned and dark-haired, our first thought ought to be that he's not Hispanic, but maybe he's a Muslim. He's an Arab. But this is where we are. I guess we should blame the press for having Hispanic phobia. Hispanophobia, that's what we'll call it. Right? They call us Islamophobes if we dare say we have a problem with Islam. We'll just call them Hispanophobes or Anglophobes. Right? We have a problem, folks, and it's evil. It's sin. It is a spirit of lawlessness that's creeping over our land and over the world, really. We are approaching faster. Notice what he says. Then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Why does he say to Christians, you'll be hated by all ethnicities? All ethnos. Why do we go from verse 6 and 7 where he's talking about nation and against nation. But then he says, but then you Christians, you're going to be hated by every ethnicity. Because the same spirit that's stirring up all this violence and division and discord and lawlessness is stirring it all up so it can get to us. Soon everything will shift. You don't believe me? Just look at the Middle East. Can we say that since 2011 things shifted in the Middle East? Thanks to the Queen of Blood and Barry Jihad Obama. Right? We better be praying people, serious people. I have a feeling I'm going to share this very carefully because I can't give too much information as to give away the person who shared this with me, where they work and so on. But remember this, in 2012, I believe it was, I had a prophetic dream about a major attack in the northeast coastline, the corridor. Now, initially, I think I said it may have been a nuclear attack. I couldn't tell. It was just fires. It was a massive attack. And we're talking about, what I'm talking about in that little corridor up there, we're talking about, you know, Charlotte, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, New Haven, that whole little highly populated area, New Jersey, all that up through there. What is it, I-95 runs up through there? That whole I-95 corridor there, right? Well, in my dream, I knew there was a massive, destructive disaster, attack, whatever, up there. I didn't see exactly what city, but I knew I was looking in that northeast coast corridor there. And in the dream, I could see fires burning. And I was on the outskirts of this destruction, this disaster. But in the dream, I had a direct line to the President of the United States, to Mr. Barack Obama. And I called him, and I've shared this many times. It's been on our website for years. But anyway, I called him, and I had this direct, secure line. Because in the dream, for some reason, I work for the government. I never have and never will. But in the dream, I think God was revealing, you know, dreams have to be interpreted, right? But in the dream, I had this direct line, and I called him, and I was talking to him, and then we got cut off. I thought, this line should never get cut off, right? But anyway, I knew where he was, so I went, and of course, when I found him, he was in this huge cafeteria seated at a circle table, and I was about from here to where you, Patrick, and Shree are sitting, and I was trying to get his attention. It got to the point I was shouting, and he would not look up. He would not answer me. I knew then that he was complicit in this attack and that he wasn't going to do anything about it. That's the gist of it, all right? But just a few days ago, I received a phone call from someone up in the northeast region. I won't tell you where they work, but they're right outside of New York, in a perfect outside area, staging area, if a disaster happened in New York City. They said they received a phone call from their higher-ups to put in a level one secure line for the President of the United States. Now, before I explain, level one, it means disaster. All right, serious emergency, level one disaster. Secure line. I won't get into what, who, where. What are the chances that God would give me a dream in 2012 about a massive attack in the Northeast Coast, New York area, where I had a direct secure line to the President of the United States. And 4 years later, I end up becoming friends with someone who actually puts in that line. What are those chances? And who sends me an email to tell me I had a strange day yesterday and tells me the whole story. This means that they know something's going to happen there ahead of time, which lets you know that either they know it and they're going to allow it to happen or they're part of it. I'm just telling you, a major false flag event is coming, and I'm just going to base it on this dream that I know was a prophetic dream from the Lord in 2012 and this new information that confirms that dream. Now, it just so happens that tomorrow night in New York area is the first presidential debate. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. I've said, just talking to Robert the other day, I said, if I was running for president, the person I would love to be against and debate would be Hillary Clinton. She has so many scandals and so much evil and so many failures. I mean, she really couldn't. I mean, was she going to bring up Donald Trump's, you know, issues with Trump University? I don't know. If I was Trump and she brought up Trump University and some lawsuits that I faced or some people that weren't happy, I'd be like, really? You're going to bring up Trump University? Shall I bring up Benghazi? Shall I bring up Vince Foster? Shall I bring up, I would just go down the list. Don't talk about someone with no credibility. Shall I talk about classified emails that have disappeared? You're a criminal. You're a murderer. You're a liar. It'd be easy. It'd be fun. I'd have a ball debating her, right? But I'm going to tell you what some are suspecting is that the evil powers that be in this world that want a global government via the UN, that want the United States crippled and weakened, that do not want a president that's going to put America first, American interests first, what some have put forth is, what if they kill both of them? I said months ago, these people are so evil and diabolical and murderers, these Luciferians that run this global, the world power structure, the bankers, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, I mean, we could just go down the list. These people are so evil, the Soros and the rest of them, they wouldn't even hesitate if they could pull it off to destroy an entire city to kill Donald Trump and stop America from trying to right the ship a little bit. And listen, I'm only involved in this, and the only reason I have a dog in this fight is because the Holy Spirit spoke to me in January about it, or I wouldn't even be talking about it. God spoke to me when there were 17 Republicans in the race, and the favorite was Jeb Bush. And he told me, Donald Trump is the one. God said, Donald Trump is the one that I have chosen. It is my will for him to be president, but he will not be president if my people do not pray for him. He has many enemies on every side. The Lord spoke to me and told me I'm turning his heart toward me, and he is my choice. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit came all over me. I had no plans to get into this. I wasn't even going to vote this go-around. I wasn't even going to be involved in it. So I figured everything was too far gone. But the Lord told me that we needed Donald Trump to be president, that the tribulation that we would enter if he was president wouldn't be as bad for America as it will be under a globalist, Luciferian, Jezebel. People just don't get it. If she becomes president of the United States, America is done. Done. She will finish what Barack Obama has been doing for the last 8 years. She will put the finishing touches on it. And yet, we still have people out there. Every now and then I turn on Fox News. Everybody seen Waters World? That guy Waters, what's his name, his first name? Waters World. He's hilarious. He's the one that O'Reilly that started sending him out on the street to ask questions of people. And now he has his own show, but he still does it on O'Reilly. He still goes out. So he went to a Hillary Clinton rally, and we're asking people, what was Hillary Clinton's biggest success as Secretary of State? One guy said, well, that's Hillary support. That's a good question. Crickets. Couldn't think of anything. That's a supporter. That's somebody that's going to vote for. Can't think of one thing she did that was successful and legitimate. And yet, there's still 47% of America that will vote for her no matter what. No matter what. You want to talk about being a screwed up country. I'll tell you, if we get the queen of blood, you think we've seen blood in America. It's going to run in the streets, folks. I think we need to be praying. Tonight, today, pray for Donald Trump. Pray for that whole Northeast corridor. You know, I believe the bombings of late, the recent bombings in New York and New Jersey, those were a test run, I believe. You know, and I'll just say this. The bombing in the World Trade Center in 1993, I believe that was just to set up a bunch of Arabs so that when the government and the Bush family decided to take down the buildings in 2001, they could blame it on. And folks, if you're out there listening to this and you still think 19 terrorists from Saudi Arabia flew planes into two buildings and three skyscrapers fell down, you are still asleep. I was watching a thing the other day with all the firemen in New York that were there on that day, talking about pop, 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 pop. They heard the controlled demolition. The evil globalist Bush family, and yes, the Saudi Arabians helped. I mean, you know, the World Trade Center complex had high security, right? You know who was in charge of the security, don't you? Up until September 10th, who was in charge of the security of the building? A firm owned by Marvin Bush. See, to get in and set controlled demolition in not just the World Trade Center towers, the two towers, but Building 7 that went down at free fall rate, yet no plane hit it, means that for weeks and weeks, maybe even months, people had to get in there and set those bombs, experts. And there's pictures of the I-beams cut at 45-degree angles. Those have to have shape charges on them. 9/11 was done by our own government, particularly the Bush family. And it was to get us in an endless war in the Middle East until we were economically weakened. Economically weakened, our military depleted, America war weary. And of course, you have that little distraction going on over here while they over here give you the Patriot Act and Operation Stellar Wind, and they're violating the Constitution. Yes, all that's under the Bush administration first. And they're violating your Fourth Amendment and taking away your First Amendment and working to take away your Second Amendment. we're this close. The United States is this close to complete collapse and being brought into the control of the United Nations, which is one of the most evil things that's ever been concocted in this world. This close. You know, we were singing a minute ago, Jesus be in our peace. You know what I thought about? I thought about the story where Jesus in Mark, it's in Matthew, he tells them, we're going to go into the other side. We're going to get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. I've gone from one side to the other and back in a boat. They said, we're going to get on and we're going to get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. And Jesus is tired. He goes back in the back of the boat and lays down and falls asleep. And a terrible storm comes up. Terrible storm. Rocking the boat. Waves. Filling the boat with water. Jesus sleeps right on through it. And they finally wake him and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he steps up and he says, peace be still. And I'm thinking about that. The storms that are coming to the world, to America and the rest of the world, I really believe most Christians are going to fall into the category of, God, you obviously don't care about us to let this happen. Instead of pressing into him and letting him become your peace and your shelter. You understand? Jesus is the only peace you will have. He's the only peace. He's the only hope. He's the only Savior. He's the only one that can wash away sins. He's the only one. He's the only power that we will have against. With all these forces of Satan and this evil world system arrayed against Christians, our only hope, our only strength, our only peace in the days ahead will be if we are in the presence of Jesus, that we are in him and he is in us and we are living for him and we are drawing near to him. It, just like Peter, when Peter, and these were two separate stories, because when Peter, there was another time when Jesus sent him across the Sea of Galilee and a storm came again, but this time Jesus was not in the boat with them. And Jesus came to them by night walking on the water, and they couldn't tell if it was him. It was dark and stormy. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come out and walk on the water. And Peter, the Lord said, come on. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. But it said that Peter, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water in the midst of the storm. The moment he got his eyes on the storm, he began to sink. This is what's going to happen to so many people. Their eyes are going to be... Now, it's not that you're not going to see the storm. Peter could see the storm. But when his eyes were focused on Jesus in the midst of the storm, when prayer, and for us, that's prayer and staying in the Word of God and staying in prayer and staying in obedience and staying in holiness and staying in righteousness, staying with him. But the moment we get our eyes on everything else out there, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Fear is going to enter in. Doubt's going to enter in. There are Christians right now struggling with doubt, doubting God's word. And if you doubt God's word, any part of it is going to sink. If you disobey God's word, you're going to sink. If you allow anyone to deceive you and get you off of God's word, God's truth, you're going to sink. That's why I just read it a minute ago, Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. You must endure to the end. You must persevere through it all. You can't get into unbelief. You can't get into doubt and fear and unbelief. Let me give you another scripture. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is for the Once saved, always saved crowd out there. Believe that lie. Hebrews. Everybody turn to Hebrews. Chapter 3. Are you there? My pages are sticking together here. Here we go. Listen to this. Verse 1 we're going to read. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." And then he says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken to be spoken after. But Christ," speaking of Christ Jesus, "as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. If, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore was I grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Look at verse 12, everybody. Verse 12, 13, and 14. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Now I'm going to say it plainly. That means the end of your life or the end when Jesus comes. Either way, you must be steadfast in your faith. You must be steadfast in the truth of God's word. You must be steadfast and not deceived by sin, that you can live in sin and think you're going to be okay. You hear me? "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, our faith, our trust, steadfast to the end." Amen? If's a big word. Right? I mean, we got the Baptists out there. We got now the Methodists adopted it. We got the Presbyterians saying it's unconditional, eternal security, unconditional election. No, if, when you see the word if in there, it means it's conditional. Jesus has paid the price for your sins, but you got to walk in that. Amen? You got to endure. It's disturbing me. Seeing so many fall away. And there's different ways to fall away, people. People are falling away from the truth of God's word. They're falling into deception. Some are falling into sin. Some are falling into the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things. Many are falling away right now. Right? Don't let it happen to you. That's all I can say. When the storm gets worse, are you going to be the one to say to the Lord, "You don't care about us"? How many people are going to say, "You don't care about us"? There's a lot of people right now, they start going through something, "God doesn't care about me," and then they fall away. Let me tell you something. Do I love the Lord? Do I try to follow the Lord? Do I go through some crap? Yeah, I mean, I always come back to what Peter said to Jesus when he said, to the 12 that time and said, whenever, you know, John, it's interesting. It's John 6, verse 66. 666 there. John 6, verse 66. But Jesus spoke the things about the bread and the wine and his body. And of course, many of them didn't understand it, and some of them did. He was talking about being covenant with him. But it said from that time, many of them said, that's a hard saying. Who can bear it? And it said from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus turned and looked at the 12, and he said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life are not in Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna. There's only one true God. There is only one Messiah, one Savior, only one who died for sin, the only one who could be sinless. Buddha was not sinless. Muhammad certainly wasn't sinless with his six-year-old wife. No, there's no comparison between Muhammad and Jesus. No comparison. There's no comparison between the Quran and this book. No comparison. Not even close. There is one God, one Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way to heaven, eternal life, one way for your sins to be forgiven. One way to endure to the end. One way to escape the judgment and wrath of God and not go to hell. There's only one way. You must be found in Jesus when your end comes or when the end comes. If you are not in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, I'm not talking about the New Age Jesus. I'm not talking about the third Jesus of Deepak Chopra. I'm not talking about all the false Jesuses and Gospels that I'm talking about the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world on the cross, who rose from the dead, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus looked at them all and he said, if you don't believe that I am, what he was saying there, the word I am, he said, that's the word when Moses said, who's speaking to me? God said, I am. Jesus said, I am. If you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you go to hell, separated from God forever. The smoke of your torment will rise forever and ever, and you will deserve it, especially if you've heard me preach this morning. God loves you and died on the cross to save you. You reject that. You've just paddled your own canoe to hell. You know, it's the old story we hear, remember? Man's in a flood, he's on the roof of his house. Lord, save me. Lord sent a helicopter, a boat. Every time he said, oh no, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. So he dies, stands before God. Why didn't you save me? Lord, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. You wouldn't get in. But the real story is, I sent my only begotten son. He died on the cross for your sins. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead the third day. He simply says, believe me, follow me, obey me, and I will wash you clean. I will give you eternal life. You can escape all the judgment and the wrath of God. Pretty good deal. Oh, you just have to give up stuff that's going to destroy you anyway. Oh, yeah. Big, big, big sacrifice to give up drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality. That's a big sacrifice, isn't it? For eternal life. Right? Hating, give up hating people. Pretty amazing, huh? All right. Well, I'm going to stop because these are just my random thoughts this morning. to share with you what's on my heart. Amen. Sometimes I don't, but I just let it rip. Right? Whenever you don't see a title on it, you can know I have no idea until I stand up here. You know, I did have something good happen today. I'll share this real quick as we're about to close. The Flat Earth videos are blowing up. I mean, right now, between the three of them, 90-something thousand, almost 100,000 views. The one that's only been up a month now is up at 67,000 views. 67,000 views, okay? Blowing my mind. But it's the truth of God's word, right? So I get a friend request today, and of course, I've added a lot of friends, a lot of subscribers on YouTube, so on and forth. But it was interesting because I got this friend request from this guy. Of course, I didn't know him. I always check and see he's a legit person. So he looked like a legit person. So I accepted him. And when I accepted him, I noticed, you know, I couldn't, when I checked him out first, I couldn't see his, what was all written on his page. But when I accepted his friend request, all of a sudden I could see what was on his page. And he had posted a video about, a flat earth video about when the compass doesn't point south, ever, right? No south pole is why, right? So he had a flat earth video up about 5 minutes. And so I watched it. Then I noticed it said all these comments were underneath it. So I just clicked, I want to see some of the comments underneath. This was this morning before getting ready to come here. So I click on it and notice he's had a little conversation, maybe about 8 or 9, 10 comments. And then he had our video posted of the first sermon I did, the hour and nearly 2 hours. And the guy said on there, and this just blessed me. He may even be watching this morning. He said, I was falling away from Christianity. He said, but this pastor is bringing me back. He said, this is the most biblical presentation I've ever heard on the subject of creation. And he was sharing it with all his friends. I'm going to tell you something. If you still think you live on a ball earth, you are behind the curve now. Because there is an entire movement out there now of millions that are waking up to the truth. And what's beautiful is that the Bible said it all along, the whole time. Man. Yes, the earth is flat. And the Bible said it was flat. And people are finding out it's flat. Amen. So I've had Christians tell me it's not an important issue. Don't tell me any biblical truth not important. Because you get on the bad list if you do that with me. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we just thank you. You said that if we would continue in your word, the Bible, if we would continue in your word, you said it in John 8. If we would continue in your word, we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. God, you said your word is what causes us to become born again. And you said if we're not born again, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. Lord, your word gives us all the truth we need of creation, of heaven, of hell, of judgment day, of how to be saved, how to live according to your rules and not be lawless. Lord, the spirit of lawlessness is taking over the wicked, the unsaved, the lukewarm, the backslidden. But your people submit to your law. They bow the knee to the law of Christ. So, Lord, we come to you, and I pray that people listening and those who will listen, if they're not saved, if they don't walk with you, if they don't know you, or if they're drifting away, if they're living in sin or false doctrines, that today they'll come out of that and begin to walk with you in truth, according to your word, and in a real relationship where they learn to hear your voice and experience your presence and find peace in knowing the Prince of Peace. I pray people will find you today and walk with you today. Folks, it's simple. If you're listening out there, you're watching, it's very simple. Just believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Believe that he rose from the dead. Believe that his blood was sinless, spotless, and can wash your sin away. Believe that and then repent. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and begin to become a disciple. Begin to follow him according to the Bible and you'll be saved. And if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Simple. It's not hard. Father in heaven, we love you today. We praise you today. God, touch people. Holy Spirit, touch people out there. Draw them to repent and make you Lord of their lives. We pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, this is what I want to do. If you want prayer today, we're going to do one song. You got that? The Mercy Seat song? And if you want prayer for anything, we're going to stand and we're going to do one more song. If we need to, you can just loop it and keep it going. But if anybody wants prayer today for anything, I want you to get up. As this song starts, I want you to get up and come. If not, that's fine. We're going to worship with this song and then we'll go. All right? Let's stand. Hallelujah.
In the dark, where everything is unknown, I face the power of fear on my own. I cannot know of a place I could go, where I could find a way to heal my wounded soul.
Fine.
He said I could come into his presence.
Loose it and go.
Into the holy place where his mercy hovers. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me. His blood would flow freely. It will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat. Are you living where hope is not there? You're lost in the curse of a life I'm a sin. Love and these illusions, they never come true. I know where there's a place, a mercy for you.
He said if the rain would cover you,
Thank you for the blood that you shed, that you sprinkled on that mercy seat in heaven. We thank you that we can come in your presence boldly through the blood of Jesus. We can come. Lord, we thank you there's healing there. There's forgiveness there. There's deliverance there. There's everything we need. There's provision. Lord, we worship you. Lord, I thank you for touching. I believe my brother's healed in Jesus' name. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord in here. Amen.
Lord.
Glory to God. All right. Well, if you have a tithe or offering, just drop it in the basket back there in the back. Ladies meeting Monday night here. Okay. 6:30. All right. Don't forget men. I guess, what's the day? Is it... will next Saturday be the first Saturday of October? Okay. Men's meeting October 1st here at 9 o'clock. Amen? All right. Look at that. We're organized.